Welcome to the Certified Skills in AI and Tech podcast, brought to you by Criterion. Criterion is a global leader in assessment solutions, providing software for test development and delivery, as well as test development services for low to high stakes certification programs.
All right, Fayaz, welcome to the Certified Skills in AI podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
And as always, we have our host, the Chief Revenue Officer here at Criterion, Buzz Walker.
Glad to be here and good to spend time with you again, Fayaz.
Likewise. Can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Fayaz, we'd love to hear a little bit about the work that you're involved with, the company that you're working with, and you know what your general day-to-day looks like in your world.
The day-to-day is exciting because of not only the technology that is driving a lot of things that we do, but also, you know, Kinaxis is a great company to work for. And as VP of Training and Enablement, you know, I see a lot of things, you know, what the market is looking for, what our ecosystem is requiring, and as a job, what I have to do. So there's a lot of things coming together, a lot of excitement. But let me start with, you know, why Kinaxis. You know, who are Kinaxis and you know, what we do. A little bit of background, you know, the events of the last few years that everyone's aware of has brought supply chain into the boardroom. And boards all across the world, they want to know if everyone's prepared for what's coming next. And that is really important. That's critical from, you know, a board's perspective. And at the same time, you know, they want to also do less harm to the planet. So that's also something that a lot of companies look at. And this narrative, it exposes the competency gaps that exist in supply chain today. Those that produce the ability to absorb increasing volatility and uncertainty, and developing new competencies requires, I guess, rethinking the outdated techniques that currently govern not only supply chain, but the whole skills gap analysis all around the world. So I guess those same supply chain leaders, they want a partner that can help them orchestrate their entire, you know, end-to-end supply chain, not just one function. And that's where Kinaxis comes in. So we are, you know, the definitive global leader in modern end-to-end supply chain management. And we bring innovative software, human-centered AI to a proprietary technique called concurrency that powers the planet's most resilient and intelligent supply chains. And across, you know, our ecosystem, there are over 40,000 users in over 100 countries that entrust Kinaxis to help meet their corporate goals whilst serving humanity and doing the least amount of harm to the planet. Gartner named us the leader in its supply chain planning magic quadrant for the 9th successive time. So it's really good to be working for a company like Kinaxis, especially because we are at the forefront of modern technology and introducing AI into our product. And more related to my role, I am forever looking at, you know, being ahead of the game and not playing catch up.
What are some of the business challenges that you see companies struggling with? And Kinaxis sort of comes in and helps them with that. You know, I understand supply chain, but like, is there some certain specific area that you see that's just a common trend?
Yeah. So as compared to an Excel spreadsheet or going through Excel spreadsheets that you find at the end of another Excel spreadsheet that, oh, wait, we haven't got this supply in time. And, you know, I'm going to be polite, we're stuffed. So automation and AI, you know, technology, especially, you know, the Kinaxis products, they help automate and, you know, bring in AI into the equation plays a huge part in solving supply chain disruptions by improving supply resiliency, concurrency, sustainability. And, you know, it increases agility and accelerates your time to value through actionable insights that the Kinaxis solution provides by smarter workflows, intelligent automation. And like I said earlier, you know, AI is now an integral part of our design and will make a significant difference to our, you know, core customer requirements because it's built into our functionality. One of the, just to drive that a little bit further, you know, one of the key pillars that we have at Kinaxis is no sooner, right? So with AI, connecting the data, the processes, and people faster, so everyone is then working in sync with up-to-date global data, immediately seeing the impact of any change across the end-to-end supply chain. So that's, you know, that's really critical for our customers, that they are working with a partner like Kinaxis that gets it and is providing them with solutions quick, fast, actionable, automated, intelligent automation, like I mentioned earlier.
As you are leading the charge for training and education and your customers being able to really implement the solution well, what kind of impacts do you see on their need for learning with AI in the mix, either in their own environment or as you're adding it? It seems that that may affect the type of training you have to provide or learning, and what are your thoughts or where are you seeing that all going, and how that lays over, you know, what it takes to be able to implement the solution for people to be able to come up to speed on how they need to be able to operate it?
Great question, Buzz. I'm going to start by quoting Benjamin Franklin. You know, he a few years ago, he said, tell me and I forget. Teach me and I may remember, but involve me and I will learn. And that is the fundamental part of what I've tried to do throughout my career in education, to actually get people to do stuff. You know what they say about your brain, use it or lose it. And I want to disrupt the way the traditional things take place, you know, in our education business. So actually introducing artificial intelligence into training and development is, in my opinion, one of the most promising things that can revolutionize your learning and development. Most organizations, you know, have already taken or are trying to take a step in that direction so that they're taking advantage of things like ChatGPT and so on and so forth. But there are so many things that, you know, technology, and especially as we're talking about AI, is going to address at Kinaxis, and I'm sure in so many companies. And if they haven't started doing it, I'm sure they are going to, you know, take a step in that direction. So I'll start by talking about skill gaps. Most companies have a very traditional L&D approach where you have an LMS, you build the courses, you put them up there, and everyone has to consume those courses. That's pretty much traditional L&D, you know, strategy. But the thing is, not all employees learn in the same way. If I want to, you know, learn to change the oil in my car, for example, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to YouTube, learn. I'm going to learn at the speed of need, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at that YouTube video, and it's going to show me how to change the oil in my car. And I'm going to think, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. I better take this to a workshop and get this thing done. Or if I could do it, I will do it. So I am you know, my approach is not much different to what a lot of people do, especially those coming out of college and universities today. That they're used to that now. They're used to technology being at their fingertips. So the point is, not all employees learn in exactly the same way. Some perhaps may already have that skill set. So forcing them to learn something that they already know is not really an effective learning strategy. And what AI in learning and development does for you, it analyzes, you know, the huge data sets that you have and concludes from there that, hey, you know what? We can use predictive analysis to identify what these learners need or what these roles need in order to be able to do their jobs more effectively. So by creating learner profiles, something that will, you know, take maybe days to get together manually can be done, you know, instantly, and it can successfully identify the skills missing in the employees automatically in a very short space of time. So this concept is already in use. There are so many, you know, training providers, LMSs, LXPs, as we call them, that use AI to measure learner performance, you know, get their skill sets identify where the knowledge gaps are. And once that gap is identified, you are then going to speak to your curriculum department to say, hey, you know, we're missing this course, you know, let's create this. So in the past, that would have taken ages to do. But, you know, with AI, you know, this is going to make a huge difference to get that done quicker. You've now got, you know, a more appropriate content that's relevant for your workforce. So that's one of the key things that we're doing. We're modernizing our LMS. We are introducing a new LXP that is going to use AI to do exactly that. We're going to identify the skills gaps. And you know, a lot of this is not only self-identifying, it's you know, working with your manager, working with your, you know, other peers, you can identify where your skill gaps are. So that's something that I think is critical to what we are doing. So a personalized learning approach for each learner in your organization using AI is something that at Kinaxis we have embarked upon that journey.
It seems like in the future, companies and organizations are going to be also education providers to some extent, in the sense that they're going to be constantly having to train and teach their employees. I wonder how much, you know, how sustainable that is for companies to just take on a completely new endeavor, because now they're going to be entering the space where they're educating employees, but it seems like the best people to provide education for their job is the employer themselves. So it's like a big task that needs to be taken on, but it's also very critical and relevant for employees, it seems.
It is, because if you remain stagnant in your learning and development, there are going to be a whole, you know, lot of people who are going to jump ahead in terms of the skill sets that are required for the future. So it is the responsibility of the employer to continuously up-level their employees' skill set. So it's incumbent on the employer as well as the employee. I have come across, and I'm sure you have as well, where, you know, you're trying to get an employee to say, hey, you know, you need to learn this skill set, and he or she is set in their ways, and, you know, they want to do that same thing for the rest of their lives. And you know, that has you know, come and gone. You know, we have moved far ahead of that. We can't stay there, especially with the technology, you know, hitting, you know, us hard, you know, saying, hey, you know what? This is here to stay. This is not going away. So anyone who doesn't up-level their skill set, whether by themselves or help from their managers and, you know, the companies themselves, are going to find themselves out of a job very soon.
Yeah. And if we even take it to the extent of looking at you and your product, as you sell it into the marketplace, you will probably need people at your client companies or your partners to be doing that upskilling. And so while it might be incumbent on individual companies, how are you thinking about that or addressing that, knowing that perhaps that skill set at the receiving end of your software needs to be different or better, even just to integrate all the data pieces that you want to come in? Where are they coming from? How are they coming? How are they connecting? Is probably different than what it was even before the pandemic.
You mean from an employee skill set perspective, I assume, right?
Well, I'm thinking the employee skill set at your client companies or your partners. Yes.
Yeah. So I'll take this separately, because what we are doing for our partners is different to what we're doing at our customer base. So the easy one is the customers. So all of our customers go through an adoption approach. So they have purchased our software and they need to be enabled. And that's a critical part of what we do, because if they don't adopt and make use of our product at the end of the subscription, which, you know, they're going to turn around and say, well, you know what? I don't think this is useful. So, you know, why should we renew this? It's like you sign up for Netflix and in the last month you realize that you haven't watched a single series or a single movie. You're not going to renew that. So we have a whole team that is dedicated on customer enablement. As soon as the license deal is done, they're in there supporting the customer, making sure that they are enabled properly at the right time with the right skill set. And we work with their custom implementation team, custom implementation, and build training in a train the trainer manner, so that we hand over that content, that curriculum and labs, so that, you know, the customer can continue teaching, you know, new hires, and there is that process of enabling within the customer base. And you know, getting training in there, it leads to adoption, and ultimately it leads to renewal of the customer, which is critical for all of us. So that aspect is working really, really well. When I took the last count, we had over 85% of our customers who have said yes. They're expecting that, you know, as an organization, we have those processes already in place. The smaller customers may just take a different approach and say, you know what, we just need to send one or two people to some of your courses and that should be sufficient. And we're good with that too. Partner enablement is a whole new ballgame, because they need to be enabled on how to implement our solution. So they need to have pretty much the same kind of skill set that our professional services organization have. So that's hard anyway, but doing it at scale becomes, you know, even more difficult. So what we have done at Kinaxis is we have a typical authorized training partner program that allows us to scale into different regions, languages, you know, taking into account our partners' expertise in that region. But we have and are introducing AI, funnily enough, into this scheme of things as well. So I'll talk about how we are shifting our enablement approach. Let's say you have a typical certification approach, and you know, at Kinaxis we have over 20,000 certified people. What does that tell me? Does it tell me that those 20,000 people can actually do what the certificate says? It's possible, but do I have 100% surety that they can? The answer is, I don't know, because what we haven't done is we've tested them through a traditional certification program, which every company uses. You know, 60 questions, multiple choice, maybe some scenario-based questions. They answer them, they pass it, they're certified, and that's great. And we do have some other processes in place where they have had to go through certain projects. They're graded that way. But once again, it doesn't tell me whether the individual person is competent to do those tasks. So we are introducing, on top of the existing certification, a lab-based assessment, a lab-based performance-based assessment, which essentially is using AI in different ways. So one aspect of that is, as someone is going through a lab, we can give them, through automatic grading, feedback that, you know, you've got this wrong. And here's a learning that, you know, what you've got wrong links to, so that you can go and learn and attempt that same problem again. Now, I don't care whether they call, phone a friend or call 50 people or have 20 people around their back whilst they're doing that lab, because that's how we learn. That's what we do in real life. So I'm not worried about that aspect. What I am concerned about is that that individual actually has hands on keyboard and is actually doing that task. For me, that is critical. So the next question that arises is, how do I know that that individual has actually done that? Maybe they have substituted someone else, or there's someone in the company who knows how to do all of those tasks, and the company says, hey, you know what, why don't you just certify on behalf of everyone in our organization? How would I know that? So once again, this is where we are, you know, working with a very good partner of ours to actually introduce AI. And Buzz, you can talk a little bit about that too. But, you know, that's critical for us, because that allows us to scale. Using AI, using facial recognition to make sure that it identifies and authenticates that the person who they say they are is exactly that person. It gives me that confidence that, hey, you know what? I have 1,000 people across the organization, or 20,000 people across the organization, who have done this particular task. They know how to do it, and I can go with confidence to my board and say, yeah, I can prove it to you. These people can do this work. Does that answer your question, or are you stunned?
No, I was actually talking and on mute because of all the bings and bongs that go on the computer there. It's very interesting, your approach in AI and thinking in the broader sense of AI, how it's impacting. So it's impacting the product itself, and you being in the supply chain business, which has had global focus on, you know, your overall industry since the start of the pandemic and continues on. It's such as, you know, people didn't realize how essential it was to getting the goods and services that they need on a day-to-day basis. But I think we're all aware of it now after the global shortages that occur. But you have AI in the product, you have AI to help create training, but then you also look at it in the process of evaluating and how AI is permeating all aspects of what's going on, including, you know, just assuring that the person taking the test is who they are. And so you see lots of different applications of that technology, and it's quite, you know, it's just fascinating to think about even where we were 2 years ago, we'd be having a totally different conversation about many of these different aspects.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the speed at which you can do this, the traditional way of either going into, for example, a testing center or using, you know, a proctor, that still works. You can still do that. You still have that choice to do that. But how do you scale, you know, your entire ecosystem really quickly? So, you know, with analytics, AI, automation, at my fingertips, using my mobile phone, I can look at how many people from a specific partner are actually enrolled on the course, how many are stuck on a certain task? So if you think about what technology has given me, it is telling me that in that particular organization, every single person is stuck on task four. So is that because they don't understand that? Or is that because we haven't taught them that well enough? Or maybe we don't have that content. And it's our fault for not providing them the right content or teaching them in the wrong way or not giving them the right tools to be able to solve that particular task. So it works. It's a win-win for everyone. For the learner, we want to get them enabled. They are going to go through that task and get stuck, and we're going to help them get through it. But then that feedback goes straight into our curriculum department to say, hey, you know, you need to think of different ways in which we teach this particular aspect. In the past, that would take years before you're able to assess why people are failing a particular task. And by the time, you know, you change the content, it's too late. A whole, you know, 2-3 years have passed by, and that then goes back into your support organization because everyone is implementing something incorrectly. It impacts performance and so on and so forth. So, you know, you have data at your fingertips that you can react instantly. It's on your mobile devices. You can look at it, identify the issue, either redo your curriculum or, you know, provide a different way in which people are learning and so on and so forth. So, and the other aspect which we're working on at Kinaxis is language. We've introduced tools now that, you know, have that text available, but also instantly translates to different languages. And we would have really struggled a few years ago to do something like that, maybe pay a translation company to come and do that translation. And, you know, we all know how much that costs. So, but by having, you know, a tool that does that translation, you know, for you using, you know, AI and, you know, current techniques that are out there in the world, it makes learning and development, if you want to take it in that direction, easier for our learners, easier for our departments, and easier to analyze, you know, what we're doing and how we can continue to improve. So analytics plays a critical part in constantly improving, you know, what you do.
A lot of interesting stuff. A lot of the world is being shaken up by AI. My last question to you, Faiz, is, you know, how do people navigate the fear? I mean, I think there's a lot of concerns right now about ethical AI, about human intelligence. There was a popular article that came out the other day saying that within 10 years, human intelligence is going to be useless because AI is going to be able to do everything 10 times faster and better. You have unions that are organizing against it. You had the writers protest in Los Angeles. So there's all of this pushback because people are like, what am I going to do if the AI does it all and does it all better than me? You know, I'm sure from a supply chain perspective, there's a lot of thoughts there too. So how do you navigate the fear, and, you know, what are sort of your thoughts around that?
It's a great question, and it's on everyone's mind, not only on, you know, employees, you know, and the workforce, but even within an L&D department, you know, people are asking the question that, am I going to have a job next year because AI is doing everything for me? You've got virtual instructors, and you've got, you know, during COVID, you had all these self-paced e-learning, and, you know, all that was available. So are we all going to be out of a job? So there is genuine fear. There's no doubt about it. And there's also the fear that using AI, are we being taught the wrong things? You know, can something that shouldn't be in there creep into your learning and development? Because there's AI will just go and search for anything that it finds out there, whether it's correct or not, and bring it back to you. So, you know, how do you decide, or, you know, is your brain clever enough to look at a piece of article and say, you know what, that doesn't sound right to me. The answer is no, you're not going to be able to do that. AI is becoming more intelligent. I was joking with my brother the other day, and I said, you know, there was this movie, Terminator. Are we moving towards the Cyberdyne systems or, you know, something like that, where AI has become clever enough to dictate whatever happens in this world in the future? So, you know, the fear is there. I think it's down to us on how we use AI, as you said, from an ethical standpoint, and make sure that what AI is touching is accurate, ethical, and, you know, it is truly helping us learn, helping us educate our workforce and so on and so forth, just bringing it back to, you know, my department. So what this is what we are doing. We are going to use it, but it's going to be internal. So, you know, it's going to be our curriculum or something that we have vetted and put into our LXP. So the AI is then going to target only content that we have identified that this is useful, and it's, you know, it's gone through our auditing and it is in our LXP. So now what is going to happen is, if a learner is within our LXP and searches for something, they are going to get content that is relevant, ethical, and they're going to get it really quickly, because they're not going to come up, it's not going to come up with 500, you know, listings to say, go choose from these. It's going to be focused on exactly what they need. And if you then relate that back to the learner's profile, AI is clever enough then to make sure that this is personalized and will bring back to them exactly what their role needs for what they're asking for. So, you know, there's various ways of doing this, and I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we provide a safe environment that our learners don't have that fear when they're learning that this is something that is going to be harmful to them. The fear is going to remain, like with all, you know, new technology, that what is this going to do? You know, if I remember back to my earlier days, automation in car manufacturing was a huge thing, you know, but that hasn't stopped cars being manufactured. They're still using machines to automate some of the processes, but you still need humans. We are still more intelligent for now than AI.
That's the big word right there, for now. But
yeah.
It was a great having a conversation with Baez. Thank you for joining our podcast. A lot of great insights, and we look forward to continuing this conversation in the future.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me to this thought-provoking session. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Baez.
Thanks, Baez. Thanks, Baez.
Well, see you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Certified Skills in AI and Tech podcast, brought to you by Criterion, where we provide platforms, software, and test development and delivery services for certification programs.